you, Judy. You are much more than awesome.
Yeah.
Stop it.
You're one. You know
did
we're
David
awesome.
Tell you to say that? Did David Cassidy tell you to say that?
No. He didn't need to.
No, but, you know, a performer who I believe appeared at the World's Fair in 1933-34 is our friend Jimmy Pardo. Wasn't
Jimmy,
he there?
What are your memories of the 1933 World's Fair?
What I really remember most was Elsa the Cow and the way that this city rallied behind her even after the fire.
Embraced her, almost, wouldn't you say?
They really did. I mean, if you look around that town, there's statues, there's claymation, there's a lot of stuff happening for that cow,
sure.
And that is really what I take away from that.
Yep.
Can I tell you how fun it is? I mean, Bill's a former stand-up comic and did improv, and Jimmy Pardo is so funny, and I just love throwing stuff your way and watching you both just roll with it. It just pleases me to no end.
Well, first of all, thank you. I'd like to think I'm also more than awesome because of that.
You are.
Lady's not alone.
No, you are.
Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Wendy. It's a joy. Nothing pleases me more than when I'm told I'm going to be talking to you two.
Really?
Nothing.
Well, I mean, other things.
There's got to be a couple, Jimmy.
Top 12?
Yeah, all right. We'll take it. Yeah, we're happy with that. Jimmy, the other day we had a guest on who's written a book about creativity, and he was saying one of the saddest aspects of creativity is that as we get older, we don't let ourselves be as creative. That whole kind of, what if this would happen? What if this would happen? That kind of goes away. But I think in our line of work, we're fortunate because we don't let that go away, don't you think?
You can't. Nobody'd come see you.
I think so, but I think there is something, too. As you get older, maybe you do less.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you might have a family, you might have... you know, obligations, so maybe you don't do the crazy things that might lead to a funny story or whatever in that regard. So maybe that's part of it, but I also agree with what you said. I'm Jimmy Pardo. Thank you for your call.
You're welcome. Thanks, Jimmy. We appreciate that. Some good news to share with everybody. The last time we had you on, you were touting your podcast-a-thon. Hard to say that in that order.
Especially if you're an Italian pizza maker, apparently. A podcast.
And I am an Italian pizza maker. So you do this every year, and it benefits. It's a cause near and dear to you. Explain again the story about why you do this podcast every year, the special one.
Podcast-a-thon is to raise money for Smile Train every year. Myself, along with my co-host, Matt Belknap and Pat Francis, we spend 12 hours. This year we did a Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank, California, and we had 28 guests. A different guest every 25 minutes came on to basically do a streaming telethon to raise money for Smile Train. And at the end of the night, everything wasn't tally, but the number that we announced was about $144,600 that we raised throughout the day.
Wow.
But I think it actually is closer to like 160 once some auctions and stuff closed that we didn't tally in. But we'll end up getting close to about 180, 185,000 when everything's said and done.
That's tremendous. That's really, really nice. Don't you feel good?
I feel great, and it's great. You know what? And again, it's nice to get the credit, but you know, the fans are the ones that donate, you know, 99% of the money, and to have people like we were very lucky. John Cryer came by, and John Hamm came by, and Sarah Silverman, Andy Richter. And along with hysterical people like Paula Tompkins and Scott Aukerman and our buddy Paul Gilmartin, they all donate their time. And so for these people to stop by and spend, they're literally on stage for 20 minutes. They zip in, they zip out, but they're willing to do it, and it's all to benefit these children that are helped by Smile Train.
I'm proud of you for doing this.
I know, you're kind of a good guy.
That's a very
nice
thing.
Don't let that get out, I know,
no,
but you really are.
Well, again, I do it with, you know, there's Matt Belknap and Pat Francis, and there's a crew behind me. It's not all me, guys.
No, you can't. No one
thinks
that.
But I'm the one talking to you, so I'll take it.
Right.
And what about at Zany's Rosemont tomorrow night? Will that be all you?
I'm going to tell you something. That will be all me and that audience. A lot of it depends on them, but they want to sit there with sitting on their hands, Wendy. They're not going to enjoy themselves. You know, I can only meet them halfway. And you know, Bill, you know this about me. I've done this from day one. I rally everybody. Wendy, you don't know this. I'll tell you this, though.
This is secret inside information.
Before every stand-up comedy show, I grab the MC, I grab the feature act, I bring them into the green room, and I rally those guys. I go, you look out at that crowd. I don't care if there's 100 or 1,000 or 100,000 people out there. You go out there and you give them 74%.
Yep. Standard.
And we then put our hands in the middle, we do the Lord's Prayer, and it's showtime.
Yes. This is a tradition that really dates back, Jimmy, you told me, to Marlena Dietrich, and I had to look that up to see if you were telling the truth, and you were.
She was funny?
She was very funny.
You know I love the old, the classic actresses.
Yes.
I read every autobiography or biography on that.
Yes.
And Marlena had a sense of humor, Wendy, that you would not believe it by what she did on screen.
Unparalleled.
This lady liked to laugh.
Yep.
Was she bawdy?
Well, she was bawdy. One would say she was before Tony Fields.
Yes.
Oh, I loved Tony Fields.
Yes.
Yeah. Let me ask you, Wendy. So did I, but why did we? I'm not 100% convinced we should have, but I loved her.
Because it was something different. You saw a lot of men out there doing stand-up comedy and being funny,
yeah.
And she was okay to not be the prettiest girl in the room and could have fun at her own expense and at others. I thought she was really talented.
I will accept that answer. I loved her, as I did most stand-ups growing up. I would watch anybody and appreciated what they were doing, including the great Tody Fields.
Yes. The other day, I read a thing about the 9 women who changed the face of comedy, and Tody Fields was mentioned on there.
As she should have been.
As she should be. As was Lily Tomlin. As was Phyllis Diller.
I loved Phyllis Diller, too.
Yeah. The 3 women that were in the original seasons of Saturday Night Live were all mentioned. I'm trying to think.
Oh, is that Gilda, Lorraine, and Jane?
No, not the 3 women that were on the show, but Ann Beats, the 3 ladies that were writers on the show.
Wow, I don't know them. I feel bad.
They didn't give it to Jane, Lorraine, and Gilda, which I would have thought was a natural, but they did give it to the 3 women behind the scenes that were writers for the show. But it was good reading, because on every one of those, you go, yeah, you can't dispute that. But Tody Fields was mentioned in there, Jimmy.
That's pretty amazing, and this is the most press Tony Fields has gotten, even during her career.
I know, that's sad, isn't it? That's because she wasn't, you know, trim and lovely like everybody else.
Like you are, Jimmy.
I don't disagree with that.
You're trim and lovely. How do you keep that figure? What do you do to keep that figure?
What I do, Bill, is I get up, and you know this, I do 7 push-ups, 7 sit-ups every single day.
The magic seven. Jimmy, 7 and 7.
7. And by the way, I do it in 7 minutes.
What?
It's the 777.
That seems like a long time to just do 7 sit-ups and 7 push-ups.
You would think it is, but 7 and 7 is harder than you'd imagine.
That's roughly 1 every 30 seconds, if my math serves me right.
It's all about the form.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I may have misread this article. I should probably be doing more than that.
Yeah, Jimmy, that's not a good number at all.
And low?
And you said also, because I said to you, when you work out like that, you got to keep hydrated, so you got to drink a lot of water. And remember what you said to me? No, bubble up. And I go, they don't even make bubble up anymore.
Dude, you missed the 7-up joke right there.
I've always imported my bubble up.
He wouldn't play into it.
Really?
No. No.
He doesn't play well with others, does he? Or with himself.
Hang on. I'm not going to tolerate even streaming. I'm not going to tolerate that.
Nor should you.
I didn't mean it that way, you guys. You're
Jimmy,
dirty.
When you come
How do you not mean it that way? You said it that way.
You're doing your own push-ups by yourself, aren't you?
So who else were you? That's not a group effort.
There's no team push-ups.
Somebody have my sun sits on my back?
Somebody has to hold your feet.
Jimmy, last time we...
Push-ups? Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking sit-ups,
You're making
too.
Jimmy angry. You wouldn't like him when he's angry, Wendy.
No,
he's like the Hulk.
Bill, you know this. When I came to Hollywood, they said the gentleman you remind us most of, on and off screen, is a young Bill Bixby.
Yes,
and I appreciated that.
Yes, that's very true. Jimmy, we just had the other day, and I was thinking of you because we had one of the cast members from Hamilton and the wife of the guy who plays Hamilton here in Chicago. They were our guests the other day, and I was thinking about your passion for that show, for Hamilton. Why do you think you're so interested in that show? What's going on there?
You know, I love all musicals. I'm a fan of musical theater. And so when I first heard that, you know, before this, my favorites were Les Mis, Evita, Company, and Jesus Christ Superstar.
Sure,
those
shows
would have been my 4 going into this.
Yeah.
And then I heard, I think it was Anthony Rapp, who was in Rent. He was on my podcast, and he said, you got to listen to Hamilton. And I was like, I don't know what this is. And he said, you got to listen to it. So the day that it was released, I bought it on iTunes, and I'm not kidding, literally 4 notes in, I'm like, done. This is
really?
It was that quick, and, you know, we've since seen it. We saw it in New York. We saw it in Chicago. We're going to see it in San Francisco. We're going to see it here in Los Angeles. had the pleasure of meeting Miguel, who plays Hamilton there in Chicago. He gave us a tour of the stage. He gave my son and I a nice tour.
That's who was on our show earlier.
Oh, yeah. We had him.
Cervantes.
Very nice name.
Or he had his wife on.
Well, first time it was Miguel, and then this time it was his wife.
Why is his wife coming by? What is she talking about?
She has a charity that she was behind, so we had her on. Very nice lady. Very nice.
That's very nice, and I and he was a very nice man, and the production's great. Is Wayne Brady still in it?
Wayne Brady is leaving the show.
Yeah,
he's been with it for a few months.
Engagement.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Listen, I love the theater. That show does not need to be stunt cast. That's my review on it.
That is exactly what Bill said on the air.
Yeah.
Oh, you said on the air?
Last week, yes.
And listen to this, Jimmy. They're replacing him with Byron Allen. Isn't that weird?
Oh, my God.
Why would you do that?
Well, the good news is that's not stunt casting. It's going to be okay.
Yeah, but people won't go. Poor Byron Allen. Well,
listen, here's the thing about Hamilton. This show is so great, and it's so it's sold out so far in advance. You could put Byron Allen in it, and people would still go to this.
Right. You know what they just told us, Jimmy? Listen to how exciting this is. Every year at WGN, we do a Christmas show. We've done...
A radio play?
We've done It's a Wonderful Life. And what are some of the others, Wendy? I know every year a Christmas Carol comes up.
Miracle on 34th Street.
And this year we're doing Cats.
Oh, boy, on the radio?
Yeah, on the radio.
I think it's going to be phenomenal. Are you going to be Rum-Tum Tugger?
I would love... If they would offer me that, I would take that in a minute.
You know, I saw that. I saw Cats in 1987, the year of our Lord. And
yes.
It's when I lived in Pasadena, California, and my, let me finish this sentence, my dance instructor, yep, you heard that.
We may have to come back to that part of the story, by the way.
There's not much to it, but right. My dance instructor was in the cast of Cats at the Dorothy Chandler here in Los Angeles.
Oh.
So... He gets us great tickets to go see Cats, and I immediately, because it may be the worst show in the history of Broadway, fell asleep, and I knew a cast member.
Oh, that's bad.
Jimmy, right now, Andrew Lloyd Webber has come into the studio looking rather cross.
Well, that's him happy.
He always looks like that? All right.
Doesn't he always look a little bit like a Hirschfeld drawing?
Yeah, he looks a little upset. Andrew Lloyd Webber tends to look upset. Now, you said you had a dance instructor. How would that come into be? What would happen then?
When I moved to Pasadena in 86, I went to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts for a year.
Yeah.
And one of the classes that you had to take, I think it was twice a week, you had to take movement, which they called it movement, you know, because, you know, you got to move on stage. You got to be loose.
Sure.
But it was really a dance class. And you had to take it. And I was laughable. That's how bad I was. Just embarrassingly bad. Like, I couldn't do the simplest of steps. But I had to go twice a week because it was part of the curriculum. It was horrible.
Did you get better? Please tell me you got better.
Oh, God, no. No.
Jimmy, you know what my mom did for a living, right?
Your mom taught dance.
She had a dance studio. So she...
You know what Bill can't do at all?
I can't dance at all.
And you know who else can't? Phil Collins.
No, well, he sings a song about it, doesn't he?
He so can't dance, he put it to music.
That's a testament to how poorly he dances.
That's exactly right.
And he was in some of my mom's dance classes, and my mom said to Phil Collins, she used to call him Charlie Brown, because she couldn't tell the difference between Phil Collins and Charlie Brown.
God,
she
listen
goes,
to
Charlie Brown, you can't dance. Good grief.
You two have brought down Byron Allen, Phil Collins, Andrew Lloyd Webber.
We're just
Who
getting
else we
started,
going
Wendy.
On?
We're just getting started.
I will tell you this. I love, of all three of those people, I like them all, believe it or not. They're all nice people, and I've only met one. I've met Byron Allen, who cannot be a nicer man.
Oh, you hate to hear that.
He could be funnier, though.
I know, don't you? You nailed that on the head.
I wanted to like him. He seems very pleasant. And I watched that stupid Byron Allen show that was on TV. And he shouldn't have been hosting the Byron Allen show.
Do you know, for a while... Oh, go on, Jimmy.
No, I was going to say, Byron Allen is a gazillionaire. And he's made it work. He's made it work.
How?
I don't... Listen.
If you couldn't get Arsenio Hall... right? If there was a time, if you couldn't get Arsenio Hall, you make a call to Byron Allen and he shows up. Now, for a while on my resume, when I was reading for parts and stuff, on my acting resume, it said under TV work, it said that I was on 11 episodes of Kicking It with Byron Allen, which I never was on, but I just had that on my resume to see if anyone would pay attention. And once during a casting session, somebody goes, wow, 11 appearances with Byron Allen on Kicking It. You must be pretty good. And I go, yeah, well, Byron Allen. It's not going to take just anybody for 11 appearances.
No wonder you're on the radio with me every day.
Right. Right. That's true. That's very true. Is there a... I'll go on, Jim.
When I first started stand-up, I would have the people intro me as, you may have seen him in the movie Shipwrecked. It was a kid's movie, a Disney kid's movie that I assumed nobody saw. And so nobody ever questioned it. And then one time I did the show... And it turns out, like, it was in Battle Creek. I did the show, and a guy comes up afterwards, like, hey, what were you in Shipwreck? Because my brother was the star of that movie.
You have to be careful. All right, so you said, because as Wendy pointed out, you and I have taken down some of the A-listers in show business in the last 20 minutes.
A-listers?
Yeah. E-listers. So has there been anybody, Jimmy, that you've run into there? Because in California, it's wall-to-wall celebrities. Every time you go shopping, you run into somebody famous. Have you met somebody that you were a little leery about meeting and then they turned out to be okay?
Wait, that's a great question. I don't know about leery. In the last, let's call it 6 or 7 months, I've just met Tom Bergeron.
Oh, you did? How was that?
And he was the nicest guy in the world.
Was he really?
And funny and charming and everything that you expect from Tom Bergeron, that's who he was.
I'm not surprised.
He does a great job at what he does.
He hosts,
can I say that?
For people who don't know who Tom Bergeron is,
he hosts everything.
Every show that's on TV. Everything. He hosts our show.
And he does them live.
Yeah.
He's doing live television with that dance. I mean, it's fascinating what he does, and he's great at it.
He was on, now people know him now from Dancing with the Stars, but one of the, when they brought back Hollywood Squares and they kept trying out different hosts, he was the best of the ones they tried out.
And America's Funniest Videos, he took over from Saget, I think.
He did.
Okay.
Yeah. Took that over from Saget, then, he hosted, I think Hollywood Squares might have lasted like 7 years, 8 years?
Something like that.
He's really good. I didn't realize that's live improv right there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's great. And, yeah, he came on. If you ever get him on, and I insist that your producer, Kevin, try to get Tom Bergeron.
Kevin, get us Tom Bergeron. Kevin is.
Listen, you can do that. You're on there. You're on the blowtorch. You can take care of this.
Yeah.
He tells a story about calling up Larry Fine and then Mo Howard on the telephone. And when he was a kid, and it's the greatest, in my opinion, the greatest story. And I almost tell it. I wish it was mine. I love it so much.
Why don't you tell it like an actor in Shipwrecked would have told it?
How would that sound?
Oh, that would be me going, I just came in the background. I just came back by a guy holding the rope.
That's excellent. That's fantastic.
Thank you very much.
One of the times I was working out in Los Angeles, for some reason, we would use Jim J. Bullock's name as a punchline all the time. We'd go, you know who'd be great in that movie? Jim J. Bullock. Like, that was like the in thing to make fun of. So then, after doing that for 3 or 4 days, we went into a frozen yogurt shop, and there's Jim J. Bullock. And both my friend and I were like, I can't even talk to him.
What do you say?
We've been mentioning his name in vain for the last 3 days. We can't even say to him. But we finally did. We just went over, and we go, Mr. Bullock, enjoy your work very much. And we questioned his choice of flavors of frozen yogurt, which he was fine with.
Doesn't he spell his name weird? You explained this to me before.
Yeah, for a while, Jim J. Bullock spelled his name just the letter J and the letter M.
There was no I.
Yeah, he didn't use the I. There's no I
in places to go.
Right. There's no I in Jim.
That's not how you spell Jim. And I looked it up because, of course, I didn't believe Bill, Jimmy. And you were accurate.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, I mean, you're not wrong. That does sound like one of the dumb things Bill would make up. Just
I know.
But, Wendy, how do I spell my name in deference to Jim J. Bullock?
B-L.
B-L. I don't use the I or the other L. Wasteful.
We get right to it.
Yep.
Actually, it's your initials, so that's
why. I forget. I forget the reason, Jimmy.
You know it's B-L. You forget why you're doing it, but you do it.
I lose track of the reason, though. Jimmy,
hang on, I'm dying.
Let's
take a sip of water, guys. I just got done doing that 777 thing, so I'm a little. I need some water.
Are you winded?
I think it's so funny.
It sounds like you guys have never tried to do 7 push-ups and 7 sit-ups within 7 minutes. That's not that easy.
No, it takes a lot. It takes a lot out of you.
I got to be honest with you. I'm not, I can't do push-ups very well. I tried to go against Bill. I think I did 1.5.
Yeah.
I could do 7 and 7 in 7 minutes. So you got
to
up it.
I bet you it would be hard to do. I'm not, it, like, if you, if like, you're, even if you're good at those two things, I think it would be hard to make that last that long. Like, you would really have to hold it up there for like 40 seconds.
Sure.
That's the form you're looking for. That works all your muscles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So you're doing, you're planking and push-upping at the same time.
Now, do you remember your how you challenged me with the push-ups?
No,
do you remember the challenge?
I don't remember.
You said anyone could do regular push-ups, but you can't do the clapping push-ups. And then I did. I think I did 20 of them.
I don't know.
Wait a second. 20. Slow down. I'm on the phone, so I can't see your face.
No, there's video on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You
Kevin,
did
he do 20? I don't think he did.
Yeah. 20. Do they call them military push-ups? Is that what they call them? Because I had to join the military so I wouldn't get arrested, Jimmy, when I did them. Because I didn't want to be in jail again.
Well, that makes sense. You know, safety first, especially what this country is going through right now. You don't know who's going to be in, who's going to be out.
Boy,
that's smart, Bill.
Sure words never spoken. So true.
Bill left. Genius. Modern day genius.
Thank you.
I'm begging you guys to, now I'm going to ask. Bill, you're telling me you did 20 clapping push-ups.
Correct.
Kevin, do you remember how many? Because I
Kevin
think
wasn't
said
with the show
was
at the time.
Actually before my time,
okay.
So I can't
this is when
that.
Stephanie was producing.
You did. It was pretty impressive. I'll tell you.
Yeah. Well,
that.
Thank you.
Bill, I have a question. Follow up on this. Is that the reason Stephanie left?
It's to be honest with you, it's one of the reasons.
Yeah.
It's not the only reason, but it's among the reasons. Mm. Yeah.
All right.
Because. Yeah, there was too much what she calls adrenaline. She goes, this is too much adrenaline.
After you did it, you turned into like that guy from Full Metal Jacket. So it
was
not very pleasant to be around you.
Right.
He turned into Arlie Ermey.
Yes.
I can't say his name.
Arlie Ermey.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. There we go.
Who also spelled his name just the letters J and M, which doesn't, why would that be? That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense at all. At all.
What other than this, other than your appearance at Zany's in Rosemont tomorrow, Jimmy, what are you most looking forward to in your life right now?
Boy, that's a great question. You know, I got my fantasy baseball draft on Saturday.
Now, that's a sore spot with me because you and I used to be in the same league.
Yeah, you left.
I had to leave to train for my military push-ups.
That's why you left.
That's the reason I left.
That's why I was so surprised by 20. I remember between every pick, you do 5. So 20 surprises me.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You would
call
out her name. You would go like, "I'll take outfielder Chet Lemon," and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then next guy would do their pick.
Right.
What a weird draft day you guys had. Most guys drink during it. You guys do push-ups.
Yeah, we were very physically responsible.
Yeah, we stay fit.
Yeah.
Good for you guys.
Absolutely.
You can go see Jimmy Pardo. Much of what you just heard over the last 20 minutes will be rehashed during his show tomorrow. So if you missed any of it, Jimmy will do transcripts of that at Zany's in Rosemont tomorrow night. Visit his website, jimmypardo.com, for all sorts of fun. Jimmy, it's fun to talk to you. Thanks for being here.
It's always a pleasure. I thank you guys. Have a great day and weekend.
Thank you, Jimmy.
We will. That's Jimmy Pardo.
Bye-bye.
We'll take a quick break, and then we'll find out what's coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.